start first by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and his followers to the day of judgment. Ameen. We continue tafsir of Surah Yasin. And from verse 33 to verse 44, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reading the universe for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us how to read His creation, the created book. And He is helping us out by reading the universe for us to remind us with His blessings that He bestowed upon us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, love Allah by wondering about His blessings, by wondering about the blessings that He bestowed upon you, by thinking about how much you are blessed by money, how much you are blessed by health, how much you are blessed with the children, how much you are blessed with this and that. By thinking and wondering about these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you reach to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole purpose is to work on our heart and to fix this heart that is so rusty, that doesn't react with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the whole purpose of this. And we last time stopped at the wondering about the balance that Allah created. Remember when we talked about the balance in the position of the earth, if the earth is closer, if the earth is further away, if the earth crust is thicker, if the earth crust is thinner, if the earth is smaller, if the earth is bigger. And we kept investigating all these cases to show how balances Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One example of that, the oxygen is how much of the atmosphere? 21 what? Percent. If we have a little bit more oxygen, then all fires will be uncontrollable. We will never be able to control any fire that starts. Why? Who tuned it up at 25%? Where there is enough for us to breathe? If it's less than 21%, then would it be easy for us to breathe? We would be suffocated. But who tuned it up at 21% so that we can breathe at the same time as not? We can still control fires. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were wondering about this balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. We are doing nothing but reading the universe, reading the created book of Allah. Remember when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave, and the cave takes a very strong man to reach to, it takes a lot of effort. He was isolating himself, doing what? Before the revelations came to him, he was doing what? He was doing reading of the creation of Allah. If you go there, it's a very beautiful, quiet place, very scenic place. Reading the creation of Allah. When the angel came to him and he said, read. Read doesn't only mean read in the name of Allah. Doesn't only mean read the written book of Allah. Or recite the written book of Allah. It also means read the what? The created book of Allah. So we have to read both the written book of Allah and we have to read the created book of Allah. Both of them are equally important into repairing our heart and getting closer to Allah. How do we know Allah? How do we recognize Allah? Through our brains. Our brains are created to recognize Allah. How? By reading His creation. By reading His creation, we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a saying in Egypt that says, رَبِّنَا مَشَفُهُوش عِرْفُوا بِالْعَقْلِ, which means that nobody saw Allah, but they recognized Him with the what? With the brain. So this brain is created mainly for this purpose, and to do accounting and medical and to make living. So we need to use the brain today the way Allah intended it to be used, to recognize Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stopped the last time when we were talking about the knowledge of Allah. The database required to keep track of everything, to keep track of every created cell in every human being, to keep track in every leaf on a tree falling down, where did it come from, where is it going to keep track of every insect, where is it going to eat from, the sustenance, the rizq of every ant, where is it coming from? And Allah doesn't forget to provide for the very small ant, for the very small virus, for the very small bacteria. Allah provides rizq. Remember when Sulaiman alayhi salam, he took an ant and he put it in a bottle. And he said, oh my ant, I'm going to provide rizq for you, sustenance for you. How much do you need? She said, I need 2 grains every year. So he said, here are the 2 grains and I'm going to put you in the bottle. And he locked the bottle. After 1 year, he came to visit the ant and he said, he found that the ant ate 1 piece of grain and left another piece. So he said, you ant are liar. You told me before that you need 2 pieces of grain, 2 grains a year. How come you ate one and left the other? She said, the ant said, when my sustenance was in the hands of Allah, I would eat every day because I'm not worried, because Allah will never forget to provide me my sustenance. But now my sustenance in your hand and you are a poor, miserable, forgetful human being. So I made a backup plan. If you forget me, then I have a backup. So I used to eat one day and make fasting and fast another day. Eat one day and fast a day. Eat one day and fast a day. So that if you forget me, then I have enough to eat and survive on. Who is keeping track of the sustenance of everything? Who is keeping this huge, incredible database called the knowledge of Allah? And several places of the Quran, it says, for example, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. In Surah Yasin, Allah called this database Imam Mubin. And in other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it the book. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to tell us how much knowledge exists. First of all, He wanted to tell us how precise is His database. So He said, if the a leaf in the middle, if a tree in the middle of the huge jungle has thousands of leaves, one of them is falling down in the middle of the dark night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it recorded in His database. Where did it come from? Where is it going to fall to? What speed? What orientation? What direction? The actual simulation of the movement of the leaf until it reaches the ground is all recorded in the book of Allah. When it reaches the ground, how is it going to dissolve? The cells and the particle, where are they going to go? Everything is recorded in the book of knowledge, which is this database that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. Allah wants to show us how much knowledge there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if all the trees on the face of the earth, Allah said in the Quran, if all the trees on the face of the earth are converted into pens, and all the oceans, and 7 times as much, not only all the oceans on the earth, and 7 times as much are converted into ink to write the knowledge of Allah. So you're converting all trees into pens, you're converting 7 times as much the oceans on the earth into ink, and you're trying to write the knowledge of Allah. Allah said, the ink will run out. And the trees, you will run out of ink and trees before you complete writing the knowledge of Allah. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِذَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. And at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. Say, if the oceans are ink to write the words of Allah, لَنَفِذَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي. The ocean will run out before the words of Allah run out. So imagine such a huge database and think about it and wonder about it and wonder to feel the greatness and the power of Allah, because we don't appreciate Allah the way He should be appreciated. We don't value Allah the way He should be valued. We don't respect Allah the way He should be respected. And we're not submissive to Allah the way we should be submissive. So, go ahead.
Well, in a way, we can never be submissive to Allah.
Yes, but unfortunately, we are falling very short. You are talking about the complete submission like angels. Allah is not asking us for that complete submission like angels. Allah is asking us for a reasonable human level of submission. And we are not. We are picking and choosing from the religion of Allah. Oh, this part fits me, I'll pick it up. This part, I don't like it, I'm not going to pick it up. And we have so much courage to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have so much courage, you know, to prefer ourselves and to worship this dunya. You know, the Muslim ummah, the rulers of the Muslim ummah are worshipping the chairs and the powers, right? And the people of the Muslim ummah are worshipping dunya, the life, the pleasures of this world. So we end up worshipping even other deities than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately. We prefer our own pleasures, our own temptations over the submission and the dedication and the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we have a conflict of interest between us and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are interested one way. For example, when we live in America, we are more interested into public relations. And Allah is interested into us delivering the truth, telling people that we, the only truth that exists on the face of the earth today is the truth of Islam. There is absolutely no other truth. And to warn them, like Allah said, Nadir. The Prophet is what? Nadir. What's the meaning of the Nadir? Warner. Allah described the message as a message of Nadir. Warning message. Do we deliver the warning? No. Why not? Because we are interested into public relations. We are all Muslims. You have a truth and we have the truth. And all of this garbage. This is what we are interested in. Why? Because we have a conflict of interest between delivering the message. We are worried about if that, if we deliver the message, we will be in trouble. We are worried about our jobs. We say Muslim careers, the careers of Muslim professionals are threatened by bias. Now, even though we're not delivering the message, what if we start delivering the message and the warning? Then we will have no jobs, we will be thrown in the streets, our kids will be picked on, blah, blah, blah. And we put ourselves in a situation of fear that's all in the brain because there's a conflict of interest between what Allah wants and between what we want. Unfortunately, this is just a very obvious example from our daily life. That we are giving preference to our own interests over the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instead of delivering the warning, saying to everyone that we the only truth that exists is the truth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you don't believe into it, then you are in trouble in the day of judgment. No. We are denying this truth, hiding this truth, covering up this truth. Go ahead. Not to scare them. He advised us when we give the message, we give it in a non-harsh way. Don't be harsh and don't be rude and don't be filthy. But deliver the message the way he delivered it. Did he hide the message or did he immediately deliver the warning? He stood up and he said, the warning, deliver the warning. And he made it clear. And Allah described him in so many, nadir. How many times you read the word nadir in the Quran? قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُنذِرُكُمْ I am warning you with the revelations. So many places, unlimited number of places. Nadir and Bashir. Bashir giving the good news, Nadir means delivering the warning. Everywhere. We're not doing the Nadir. We're afraid. There is a conflict of interest. You know, because we're worried about business, we're worried about jobs, we're worried about so many things. And we are not doing it. All of that, why? Because we are not appreciating Allah and His reward the way they should be appreciated. Do we know Allah? No. We just hear about Allah. When do we hear about Allah? Every Friday, if we get to listen to a decent khutbah, or every time we get to listen to a decent lesson, then we remember about Allah and we hear something about Allah. But do we know about Allah the way He should be known? No. Do we ever read the universal book that Allah has created, the book of nature, or the written book? Rarely. So we don't know Allah the way He should be known. So our job today is to read through the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Now, we have finished last time talking about the knowledge of Allah. And we already finished it now. Let's wonder and let's think about some other ayahs, some other signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Let's look at the creation of the human being. Let's see who are you and who are me. What we wear, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding those who are stubborn in accepting His message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who give credit to themselves, Allah tells them, I know you very well, since you were in the wombs of your mothers. You were nothing on the wombs of your mother. Who were you? Allah is reminding us of our origin. And Allah mentioned in the Quran, we were nothing but alaqa. What is the alaqa? A leash-like structure. A clot of blood in a leash-like structure. The length of this alaqa is between 2.5 to 4.5 millimeters. This is you and me. We were what? Alaqa? A piece of clotted blood no more than 4.5 millimeters long. That's who we were. And then what happened? This is in 25 days. After 25 days of conception. Then this alaqah becomes a mudghah. What is a mudghah? This blood grows up a little bit to become like a chewed-like structure. If you look under the microscope, you see a chewed-like structure, like a chewed gum. What is the length of this chewed gum? It is 8 millimeter long. This is you. You were what? 8 millimeter long. The one who wants, who pick and choose about the orders of Allah are 8. You were 8 millimeter long. And then it starts to detail. Why it's taking the shape of a chewed gum? Because it starts to detail a little bit. Showing, you know, the beginning of the head, the beginning of the arms, the beginning of the legs, so it starts to detail, so it looks like a chewed-like structure. And this is where what we were. And then at the end of 12 weeks, the brain starts to form, and then it grows until it becomes half of the size of the body. And then holes start to appear in this skull. You get the holes of the eyes, the holes of the nose, the holes of the mouth, the holes of the ears starts to grow and show up. And, you know, the creation progresses. The bones start to develop after... when did the bones start to develop? Yes. It takes the shape of a human being after the 6th week. Then the bones start to develop at a certain time, and it is now clothed with meat. And the only bone that is not clothed with meat is what? Huh? No. Huh? No. 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 The teeth. The only bone that's not clothed with meat is the teeth. Why? So that you can use it to chew. Right? See, who designed that? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, exactly after 40 weeks, the birth takes place. Why? Before 40 weeks, the womb, the baby is too weak to survive. After 40 weeks, it is too big to have a normal delivery. So who tuned it at 40 weeks? You read the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Then we secure the womb, or the fetus in the womb, we secure the fetus in the womb to a certain appointed time, which is the time of birth. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, look and wonder about the DNA. The DNA is a chip. It's like an electronic chip that has all the attributes, all the data regarding the attributes of the human being. The color, the shape of the eye, the shape of the nose, blah, blah, blah. All the attributes is recorded into a small, tiny, microscopic DNA. Huh? Even the attributes of the ancestors. Not only your attribute, but the attributes of your ancestors is all recorded in this very, very small permanent memory. So that if you ever have to recreate the body, if you ever have to reproduce the body or clone the body, all you need is to read the data from this DNA. Who created this DNA? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, every 1 minute, 200 million cells of our body die and replaced. Every minute, 200 million cells of our body die and replaced. Now, do you know that scholars and scientists are saying that if those cells don't die and they are not replaced every 1 minute, you will age and become like a 90 years old person in few days. So the thing that keeps you young and makes you young is the replacement of these 200 million cells every minute. Otherwise, we will be in no time, in few days, I'll be like 90 years old man, like this, who can't move. So look at the power of Allah. Look at the power of Allah, who says that your creation is much less challenging than the creation of skies. أَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا. Which creation is more challenging, yours or the creation of heavens?
And in another ayah he said, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَشَدُّ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. The creation of heaven and earth is way much more challenging than the creation of the human being. With all this information that we were learning. To maintain the beauty of the face, many cells of the face are replaced every 4 hours. Every 4 hours, many cells of the face are replaced to keep the face young and beautiful. The cells that taste the food in the tongue has to be replaced every 7 days. Otherwise, you eat the food, you don't know if it's sweet or sour. The cells of the stomach wall that digests the food has to be replaced every 2 days to maintain the ability to digest food. And look at this stomach and ask yourself a question. Stomach is meat, right? How come when you eat an outside meat, it is digested, but the meat of the stomach itself is not digested? Why? Why the stomach doesn't digest itself? Isn't, if you eat an outside stomach, a stomach of an animal, wouldn't it be digested by your stomach? So how come an outside stomach is digested, an outside piece of meat is digested, but your own stomach is not digested? Who designed it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the cover that covers the stomach from inside that is replaced every 2 days. Otherwise, you digest your own stomach. And if you eat the meat without chewing it and without mixing it with saliva, okay, if you don't do that, if you just swallow the meat, it will never be digested. You need 50 years to be able to digest the meat without chewing it and have it with saliva. So it ends up going out as number two without being digested and without your body benefiting from it. Now, the valve, you know the valve on the throat that, you know, keeps the balance between when you breathe, it blocks the bath to the stomach and opens the bath to the lungs. And if you eat, it closes the bath to the lungs and opens the bath for the stomach, right? This valve works in your throat. What's this valve called in the medical language? Huh? The one that causes you to choke. If it doesn't work, then you choke.
Epiglottis.
Right. What happens? Allah wants to remind you about this valve. Allah wants to remind you and makes you wonder about this valve. So every once in a while you choke. When you choke, when you choke, what does that remind you with? Do you ever think about the power of Allah creating this valve when you choke? Allah wants to remind you, so He makes you choke every once in a while. So that you, oh, alhamdulillah, if this valve, just this little valve, okay, is not functioning, where do you go? You die. This is how valuable you are. Just little valve is going to choke you to death. This small valve that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Unfortunately, there is a difference when Prophet Muhammad says in the hadith, when the believer gets sick, he always understands why is he getting sick. Or he always thinks and wondering why did he get sick? What did he do wrong? What is the message that Allah wants to send him by getting sick or by choking? Allah wants to remind him. He always thinks about Allah when he gets sick. And when he recovers from his sickness, he always thinks about Allah and thank Allah and start wondering why did he get sick and why did he healed from sickness. But the hypocrites, the Prophet Muhammad says, أَمَّا الْمُنَافِقُ فَمِثْلِ الْبَعِيرِ لَا يَدْرِي فِيمَا عَقَلُوهُ وَفِيمَا تَرَكُوهُ. But the hypocrites is like the camel, who doesn't, when he gets sick and when he recovers, the camel doesn't understand why was he tied down and why was he released. The Prophet says, the hypocrite is like the camel. He has no clue. He absolutely has no clue why did he get sick and why did he recover? Or the camel, why did they tie the camel down? And why did they let him go? So, unfortunately, and you can see, you know, when the people who don't believe in God get sick. Why did you get sick?
Natural sickness, everybody gets sick.
Okay, and how come you got your health back?
Oh, I went to the doctor and took the medication.
Just like the camel. That's just like the description of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get any message. When they get one hurricane, Katrina after Rita, Rita after Katrina after Allah knows what. What is that? Oh, Mother Nature. What's Mother Nature? There's no message that you can read from Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam just read in Sahih al-Bukhari, what was that yesterday, that when the wind comes strong, Prophet Muhammad's face turns red. Why? He's afraid of the wrath of Allah. Just small, strong wind. See how sensitive is Prophet Muhammad to the signs of Allah? We get the wind and we don't think about it. Just like the camels. Like Prophet Muhammad described, just like the camels. Now, let's continue reading the created book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, all it takes is to choke you, this valve doesn't work, so that you die. Do you know that? The worst kind of death, and the most weird kind of death, was given to An-Namrud. An-Namrud is the king who challenged Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who said what? Yeah, what is his death? Until he died. That's how Allah punished him. Why? He used to say, I am a king, I am a god. He used to claim God to himself. Even when Prophet Ibrahim debated with him, he said, Allah gives life and death. Do you give life and death? He said, yes. And he brought a guy who was about to be executed, and he spared him, and he said, I gave him life. And he brought another guy who was not supposed to be executed, and he killed him, and he said, I gave him death. So Prophet Ibrahim, instead of arguing with him, because he was an ignorant king, so he moved to one of the signs in the book, created book of Allah, which is the sunset. So he said, Allah brings the sun from the east, bring it from the west. So he was astonished, because that is not subject to the free will. No one can control the sun. It is part of the universal laws of Allah that no one can break. And one of the created signs of Allah. So this guy, he insisted on, even he saw Prophet Ibrahim coming out of the fire, and he saw the signs of Allah with his own eye, and he insisted to claim God to himself. So Allah wanted to give us a message. I've never heard about anyone dying this way. Did you ever? A bee entered into his ear and went into his brain and kept flying into his brain and stinging him here and there, and he would take a shoe and hit his brain to stop the pain until he died. Such a miserable death. Allah wanted to show him what's his value. The value, he claiming God, and he was killed by what? A bee. The guards will hit him with the shoe to stop the pain. And he was claiming to be God. Who is he? Who are we? 2.5 to 4 millimeters alaqa in the fetus, in the wombs of our mother, followed by 10 millimeter long mudgha, and then we still, pick and choose and argue about the blessings of Allah and deny them and ask for more, and we are not grateful. Well, I mean, who are we? We are nothing if we compare ourselves to the blessings and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that we are nothing to pick and choose from His orders, and to refuse to worship Him, and to refuse to be submissive to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how many nervous cells we have in our body to receive signals, to collect signals from the entire body? We have 1,000 million nerve cells to receive signals from all the human body. And they are connected with wires. Wires. Enough wires to go around the earth several times. Connected. Every cell is connected with wires. That all these wires gather and deliver the message to where? To the brain. Wow. And the speed of the signal from any part of the body to the brain is 70 miles per hour. So that in a fraction of a second you receive the signal. Oh, this is hot. Do you know that if we don't have these cells, you can burn your hand while you're not feeling it? One of our sisters, while she's cooking, if she doesn't have these nervous cells, she can have her hand on fire and she's not paying attention, talking on the phone. Hello? Oh, we have a picnic tomorrow? No way! And her hand is burning. Oh, no. And she did that? She said that about me? Darn! Now you tell her this and this. And she doesn't realize that her hands are on fire. But because of these nervous cells, you can kill yourself if you don't feel. Why? Because you can keep running, and if you don't feel tired to stop, you can break your heart. You can, fatigue your heart. But Allah has created these feelings so that we protect our own body. So when you feel the pain, you stop. Otherwise, we die. So look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scientists have found that in order to simulate some, not all, some of the functions done by the brain, because so far they don't understand how realization is taking place in the brain. How do we realize the sound? How do we realize the images? How do we understand them? They can't find, I mean, this is a secret that they could not uncover until now. But to simulate part of the function of the brain, they found that they need computers to cover an area equal to New York City. Number of computers equal to New York City to simulate parts of the brain and the function of the brain. All these computers that is that have to cover New York City are gathered where? In this little skull. What a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know that you are born as a millionaire? If you want to replace, if you have a bad kidney and you want to replace one of your kidneys, it will cost you $1 million, right? So here we go. You are born with two free kidneys for $2 million. Yeah? See, a gift from Allah for free. What else do you need? You know, alhamdulillah, so many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Do you know that in each ear we have 10,000 audio cells, so that sensitive to sound, so that we can hear. And in every eye we have 130 million light sensitive cells, so that we can capture the image. You know, no camera is equal to the human eye. Never. The sensitivity of the human eye can get 3D picture. There is no camera at all that can capture, you know, the dimension and the depth of the picture like the human eye, created by Allah. If you lose your eye, find someone that can sell you an eye. And if it works, how much it is. It is all given to you for free, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know that to lift your arm, just to lift your arm from this position to this position, you need 50 different muscles working together in a very well synchronized manner, in a very well organized manner. Look at me moving my hand like this, without me feeling. 50 different muscles have to work together in an extremely organized way. Extremely organized way, very well synchronized, in order for me to move my arm like that. Look at them when they synchronize the traffic lights. They say, oh, this street has synchronized the traffic light. Wow! Your arm has 50 muscles that are well synchronized together without you feeling it. You're moving your arm and you don't know that it is a miracle to move your arm. Reading the created book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to talk. To talk, you need 200 muscles to work together simultaneously in a very well synchronized fashion. And to talk, the audio cords in your throat, they vibrate in a speed of 140 cycles per second. So, 140 cycles per second from your throat. And you need 17 muscles in the tongue, and you need 24 muscles in the lips to be able to talk in a natural way. You know, to simulate reality in the computer, like in Jurassic Park, they needed to simulate the natural movement of a dinosaur. The software is $5 million software. In order to simulate the natural movement of a dinosaur on the computer. And this is a huge, huge science in computer science. How to produce algorithms that predict the natural movement. Because in the past it was like a obviously artificial movement, like the dinosaur moving like that. But in order to do that, it's a $5 million software that runs on some machines, supercomputers that have the memory connected to the CPU so that you can capture the speed of the graphics. Look, just to simulate the image of a natural movement. All these synchronized muscles. You know? How to simulate this synchronization. This is just to lift your arm. But to move your body, to simulate this synchronization on a computer, it's a $5 million software that is bought by people of Hollywood so that they can produce movies like Jurassic Park. And this is what? This is just an image, not an actual model. If you build an actual model, you know, robot or something like that. You can never get the robot to do, to simulate the normal human behavior. So Terminator, you can never get a Terminator. You know, you will always get a robot that also like, hi, my name is... That's, it's a machine. You know, you can never simulate it the normal way. Now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith, to make us read the created book of Allah, you know how many ayahs in the Quran Allah's talk is pulling our attention and asking us to read His creation? Oh man, I can tell you comfortably that it's about 1/4 of the Quran. You know, for example, in Surah Yasin, 11 ayahs, Allah is just reading to us His created book. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارُ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُضْلِمُونَ وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. All these ayat, you know, and then in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Everywhere. I mean, I can barely remember a surah where Allah is not reminding us, you know, about one, at least one of His created ayat. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ. He's asking us to read the creation of a teen, fig, and the zaytun, which is olive. You know, everywhere Allah is inviting us and calling us. How miserable we are when we have this amount of dedication in the Holy Quran, which is the written book, ordering us to read the universal created book by Allah, and we're not doing it. We never go sit down and think and practice this ibadah, which is reading and wondering about the created book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad said in the hadith that Adam was created from a piece of dirt collected from all over the earth, so that we get a variety of personalities. One personality is like the rock, stubborn, rock-headed. Another personality is like the dirt, the mud who keeps the water. You know, a personality that keeps grudges. Another personality is like the mud or the soil that doesn't keep water. Let's let go. Somebody doesn't let go anything, somebody else will let go. And different colors, like the colors of the month. The white, the yellow, the brown, the, all these are coming from the properties of that piece of dirt that Allah used to create Adam. And then He mixed it with water. And then this water becomes very soft. Then He fashioned Adam. And then the water, when it dries a little bit, it becomes clay. And then it becomes like al-fakhar, which is like the solid mud or solid clay. Huh? What called what? Pottery. Pottery. Pottery, yeah. And then Adam, what's the meaning of Adam? Adam means adim al-ard, the adim of the earth, which is the clay or the soil of the earth. Now, we are created similar but different. Now, Brother Ali works in Toyota. He works in a production line. If you look at all the Toyota car Avalon brand, they are all identical. Why? Because this is a human manufacturing, right? You produce 2,000 cars, they are all exactly the same, right? Same exact cars, because that's a human production. But look at us. Two brothers are coming from the same womb, by the same father, by the same mother, and they are twin, born together, and two different personalities. Like Salman and Sulaiman. Salman is easygoing, Sulaiman is a little bit obnoxious. You know? Subhanallah, this is one of the universal signs of Allah. How? I mean, you guys came from the same place. I mean, same father, same everything. I mean, why do you have different personalities? Subhanallah. It's all to show you the difference between the human divine production versus the human production. All Toyota cars are the same, but humans, they are totally different. Everyone has his own thumbprint. Doesn't repeat itself. All, we are all similar but different. Similar in some ways and different in other ways. It's all the power of Allah, where He created, where He said in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اِخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ, that you have been created from different, having different tongues and different colors. This is one of the ayat of Allah that proves His power and His greatness and His ability. Allah says in Surah Al-Insan, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Which means that the human being, the history of human being on earth is nothing compared to the history of earth. In other words, the earth existed billions of years before Adam was placed on earth. So, if you calculate the time period of Adam and the children of Adam living on earth, it is zero compared, it is nothing, absolutely nothing compared to the billions of years of life of the earth before Adam. So this is why Allah is reminding Adam, who are you? You live 60 years on earth, the children of Adam. You live 60 years on earth and you kill and you produce so much corruption. Who are you? Your history is nothing. Those 60 years is nothing compared to the billions and billions of years of the earth life. You know, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Which means that it's not worthy to mention the period of time humans live on earth compared to the life of the earth itself. When we think about that, we feel how great is Allah and how miserable and weak and nothing we are. Poor is the child of Adam. He is or she is driving her car with her children, the most precious human beings on earth to her heart. She's driving her car with her children and she falls into sleep, killing herself and her children. And she cannot even control her own sleep. Poor you, the child of Adam. You try to forget bad memories and they keep coming back and haunting you. Poor you are, the child of Adam. You can't keep your eyes open when you're driving. You can't keep your eyes open when the life is for yourself and the children are on the line. You can't forget. You can't focus on the prayer. Who are we? Who are we to say we choose this and we choose that? Who are we to say, Allah, you haven't given us enough? We want more. We want more and more. Like this person and like that person. And I want this car. And I want this house. And I want this money. And I want, and I want, and I want. And if you don't give me, then I'm sad. And I forget all these precious things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And we deny them. And we forget them. And we say, oh, everybody got them. Nothing special. Everybody got health. Oh, nothing special. Everybody got eyes. Everybody got ears. Everybody enjoys the rain and the sun. What is so special about them? Unfortunately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is condemning those who get used to his blessings. Actually, in the Quran, Allah is condemning Quraysh for getting used to one of the blessings that he provided them. Allah said, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ, that they got ilf. Ilf means getting used to the blessing of Allah so that it is no longer touching the heart. It's like, what is the big deal about the blessing of Allah? So what was that one blessing that they got used to it, that Allah condemned in Surah Quraysh, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ, رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, the journey of the winter and the summer to Sham and Yemen to do trading and business. Allah is just reminding them with this blessing. And Allah, just this blessing, and saying, shame on you, Quraysh, that you got used to this blessing. And the message to us, shame on you, that you got used to all these blessings, that you're not thanking me day and night for these blessings that I have provided to you. You know, and the wonder, we should wonder about how the mixing of the sperms with the egg to create the fetus. You know, doctors tell us that 500 million sperms are trying to mix with one egg. And they try to break the wall of the egg so that they can go inside and mix with the egg. And the strongest one, only one of them, the strongest one can make it. How is that? It's all with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they wanted to find out something very interesting. They noticed that there's a certain kind of ants. Every time they get a grain of wheat, they divide this piece, this grain, into 8 different equal portions. Four different pieces. 4 different portions. Okay? So they wanted to find out, where did they get this information from? One guy said they teach each other. They discovered that by learning, and they taught each other that every time you get this grain, divide it into 4 equal pieces. So they decided to do a research. So what they have done, they got an egg and they isolate the egg in a bottle. Totally away from all other ants. And when the egg, you know, when the small ant was hatched, when the egg hatched and the small ant grew up, and they gave the ant a piece of grain, automatically as soon as this ant put its hand on the piece of grain, it divided them into four. So who taught the ant to divide this piece of grain into four? Obviously, it's not learning from others. Obviously, it is the software that is planted in its head. And when you read Surah An-Nahl, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بِيُوتًا, that Allah reveals to the bees to build homes in the mountains and to build homes in the trees and to build homes from مِمَّا يَعْرُشُونَ the arish, which is like the dry leaves and things like that, to build it from there. Allah has revealed that. So it is like a software planted in the head. They don't learn from each other. They don't teach each other. It's a built-in software by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This small bug, when they were wondering about the flies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this fly that you are wondering about, if you gather all humans on earth, you cannot create this fly. Not only that, but if the fly takes away part of your food, you will never be able to retrieve this portion of your food. Why not? Can't we cut the stomach of the fly open and retrieve the food? Modern science says it's a scientific miracle for Allah to say that. Because the fly, before eating any portion of the food, okay, it spits on it enzymes to dissolve it into components and then absorbs the components. Once the food is dissolved, you can never, ever, ever, ever retrieve it to the original form. Just like Allah says, they can never retrieve the food that the fly will take away from them. Both the fly and the humans are very weak. The fly and the humans, both of them are very weak. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. They don't appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify Him the way He should be appreciated and glorified. Look at the example of the thumb. Everyone, give me a thumb like this. Do you know this thumb? If we cut this thumb, you know what happens to your hand? No, your hand will lose 80% of its function. 80% of the ability of the hand will be lost if we cut the thumb. 80% of the abilities are lost if we cut the thumb. This is the research. So who created, who designed your hand this way? Not only that, but research says if you don't have an arm, in other words, if your hand is connected directly to your body, just like some birds are, okay, then you will not be able to inhabit the earth. Why? Because you will not be able to do your function as a human being on earth, and most likely we will be like endangered species and die quickly if we don't have the arm. So who created this arm? Who made this design? Yes.
Isn't that how it appears?
Yes. But Allah gives every animal other alternatives to survive. But as humans, if Allah takes away the arm with our current form, then we will have no other alternative to be able to do the function of the arm. And then we would not be able to hunt. You cannot hunt. How are you going to hunt with the hand connected to the body? Right? And then what happened to you? You will not be able to eat. You will die. Right? So, you know, you're not able to build anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminds us about the creation in the balance that He created in the universe. Just quick example. And in China, they found that one bird is eating all the crops and preventing them from having good crops. So they decided to kill all birds. How? They found out that if these birds don't sleep for 3 days, they die. So they divided themselves into organized group all over China. So they go with the drums, boom, 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 all night, so that these birds cannot sleep. And they did that for 3 days, all birds die. As a result of the death of all these birds, worms started to grow in uncontrollable number, that it destroyed the crops much more than the birds. See, they didn't like the birds that Allah created and they killed them. Look, Allah created these birds to control what? These worms, right? See the balance? These birds control the worms and eat some of the crop. You are upset, you want to save your crop, kill the birds. The worms grow in uncontrollable numbers. They destroyed more of the crops than the birds will eat.
Look at the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created.
One of the scientists who is an atheist, put a list of all worms and all insects that has no function. And he said, those have no function. And then at the end of his research report, he said, I wonder those who say there is a God, why did he create them? It's a waste. They have no function. They have no purpose. They are doing nothing. Why they were created? And for Allah wills that the first one on his list is a worm. That something happens in Mexico. You know that plant, the sabar, that grows in the desert with thorn? What is it called? Yes. It grew up in a certain area of Mexico with large numbers. They could not kill it. And it ruins the agriculture. It becomes like a national threat. And they found out that the only way they can control that is using this worm, which is number one on the list. Because it feeds on the seeds that cause this plant to grow. So they put it in earth and took care of the problem in no time. And that's number one in his list. To teach him a lesson that Allah doesn't create things for vain. You know, the bacteria lives on breaking down our human waste, number one and number two, and our human remains. If there's no bacteria, if the bacteria takes a vacation for 1 week, okay, bacteria said, I'm sick and tired of your number two, I'm going to take a vacation for one week because I can't just keep working on your number two. Okay? You know what happened to Earth? The Earth would be full of number two that, you know, and we would not be able to produce so much damage on Earth that we, basically, you know, the union strike. If the union of this bacteria says, well, I'm sick and tired of your number two and you're not paying us enough, we want more health benefits and we want more salary, and they make a stroke, you know what happens? The Earth, you will walk on Earth like this. Nasty bacteria, I will give you all my money, but please come back and do your job. This is the small bacteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Look at the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the wisdom of Allah, wondering about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you can understand the wisdom of Allah, and sometimes you cannot understand the wisdom of Allah. Now you ask yourself a question. One incident will happen to you, and you can immediately relate this incident to a certain wisdom. And you say, Subhanallah. For example, you get a new job in a better place for you and your children. So you say, Subhanallah, his wisdom for me is to get this job so that my children can have a better environment, and you can immediately understand the wisdom behind this incident. And many other times, an incident will take place and you keep scratching your head and say, why? What is the wisdom? Okay, sometimes the wisdom is not obvious immediately. Sometimes it will take you a year before you discover the wisdom. When you think back and you say, oh, a year ago, I, just like one brother, he was laid off. And he was crying, and his wife were crying, and they were in a miserable condition. And then, because he was laid off, he went out and he bought a gas station. In a couple of years, he became a millionaire. Now, in 2 years, they are thinking and saying, Alhamdulillah, we were laid off. Oh, you were crying 2 years ago. You were crying 2 years ago. Alhamdulillah. Look, if you would have still been working in this nasty job, we would have been still poor. Alhamdulillah, we were laid off. 2 years before they find out about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes, the people die before uncovering the wisdom of Allah behind certain things. Why does Allah do that? Because Allah wants to test us. Do we trust His wisdom or not? Allah wants to say, trust my wisdom. If you understand it, thank me. If you don't understand it, still trust it. Look at the Prophet Ibrahim, when Allah ordered him to take his own son and his own wife and throw them in the middle of nowhere in the desert. Prophet Ibrahim did not question the wisdom of Allah and said, what? I mean, they are going to die. And Hajar, alayhi salam, she asked him, is it an order from Allah? He said, yes. She said, then he's going to take care of us. They almost trusted the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this. Our wisdom of Allah did not show up until 1,000 years later. Allah wanted to originate the Arab race in the Arabian Peninsula, in Mecca, next to his house, because he wants to send a prophet among them. He wants to raise a prophet from among them to build a superpower in 23 years, to build a righteous, not any superpower, not an abusive superpower, not a materialistic superpower, no, to build a righteous superpower that is going to reform the entire earth and the entire world. 1,000 years after, we understand why did Allah order Ibrahim to take his son and wife and throw them in the desert. 1,000 years after, when Prophet Muhammad was born and he was able to achieve what he achieved, now we understand what was the plan of Allah by sending Ibrahim and to put his wife and his child in that place. Subhanallah. So we should trust the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wondering about it. May Allah, we run out of time here, so it'll open the door for question. What I want to encourage myself and my dear brothers and sisters is to read and wonder about the created book of Allah, so that we get closer to Allah and to love Allah by recognizing and wondering about His blessings, to love Him through His blessings that He provided to us. And trust me, they are so many, they are countless. Allah says, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you count the blessings that I have given you, you will not be able to count them, because they are countless. And we can love Allah just by wondering and thinking about all these blessings that He bestowed upon us. Look at your child and say, Alhamdulillah, beautiful child. Look at your house, Alhamdulillah, beautiful house. Look at everything and say, Alhamdulillah, that Allah has given me this. And love Allah by thanking Him for His blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Question here? Ahmed, had a question? Okay. Go ahead. Lose what? Yes. Yes. If you lose, the question is, if you lose your arm or part of your body, this doesn't mean that this is the end of your life. Know that if you lose one arm, Allah has kept to you what? A second arm. So what do? You say, Alhamdulillah, that He took only one arm, but He left me with another arm. You see? Even if you lose two of them, you say, Alhamdulillah, He took my two arms, but He left my two legs, so that I can walk. You see? Alhamdulillah, don't focus on what you don't have. Unfortunately, we always focus on what we don't have, and we forget what we have. And this is our problem. We should think about what we have, and don't think about what we lost. Besides, Allah will replace you. Allah will replace you. For example, if someone is missing something, Allah will give him something else to replace that, so that this person can survive. Look at Helen Keller, for example. Helen Keller is a very good example. She couldn't hear, she couldn't see, and yet Allah has replaced her with so much talent that she became better than you and me who can hear and you know, what are you always ask yourself, what have you done with your eyes and ears? Look at Helen Keller. She did not have eyes and ears, and look what she has done. Better than me and you. So, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes. Allah, when the eyes are taken away, sometimes Allah replaces with very strong ears, so that you can find, you can see with your ears. And this is all the mercy and blessings coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you say, Allah, what is the wisdom behind taking my eyes away? I mean, is it going to hurt you or hurt the earth if you to take it, you know, if you keep my eyes? Why did you take my eyes away? Trust the wisdom of Allah. One brother, he was blind, and he said, I swear by Allah, brother Ali, I swear by Allah that if I have my eyes, I would have been the most crooked person on earth. I told him why. He said, it's a very strong temptation inside me. The only thing that is making me a sheikh, and he was a sheikh. He said, the only thing that made me a sheikh, that I lost my eyes. Otherwise, I would have been a bad criminal. And he knew himself, and he was swearing by Allah. So taking away his eye was a protection. Look at the boy who was killed in Surah Al-Kahf. This is actually an example documented in the Quran. The boy was killed, right? So the boy lost his life. The boy lost his life. His life was lost. And what's the wisdom? If this boy grew up to be a young man, what would have, he would have been a criminal. Like Allah said in the surah, he would have been a criminal, that his parents would be sick and tired of his crimes. So with the mercy of Allah, he sent the righteous believer to kill him. By killing him, he dies as a child and he goes to Jannah. If he would live, he would be a criminal and he would go to hellfire. So look at the, read the story of Prophet Musa and the righteous believer. Prophet Musa was jumping. He could not understand the wisdom, so he was pulling his hair out. You kill the boy, you destroy the ship, you fix the wall. What are you doing? And the guy asked, told him, trust the wisdom of Allah and never ask me a question. If you ask me a question, then you don't trust the wisdom of Allah. And then after Prophet Musa gave up and failed the exam miserably, the guy told him, here's the wisdom. Number one, the boat, there was a king that was about to take the boat away from them if I didn't destroy it. The boy, he would grow up to be a criminal. So I killed him, saved his parents, and saved him from hellfire, and Allah is going to replace them with a better boy. And the wall has a treasure under it. It is for two orphan boys. If it falls now, they will get the treasure, and you know, they lose it. So Allah sent me to fix the wall so that they grow up and become men. They can take the treasure and guard it. Nobody can take it away from them. This is the wisdom that you couldn't handle. Go away. You're not going to stay with me anymore. Because you did not trust the wisdom of Allah. Bye bye. So, clear lessons that we get from the Quran about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go ahead. The unknown number. What is the wisdom? Allah wants to make them an ayah. Wanted to make them a sign to be read. Just like another lesson about reading the signs in the created book of Allah. Just reading the written book and reading the created book. So Allah wanted us to read that sign as well. Any more questions? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Why should we?